are you automatic pilot? Is that how it works? You're going to leave?
I'm going to go get Donna and she'll come up.
Call a meeting to order at 3 o'clock. And we don't have any minutes to approve. I think I didn't send them out, so no minutes to approve. And we can do a roll call for the minutes. So I'm here, David Miller.
Rick Ziggenfuss.
Jimmy Youngblood.
Randy Hayes.
Charles McCarthy.
Ron Noon.
Ron Erickson is a special guest.
And our audience is?
That's Shadow.
I'm Travis Hire this year.
Microphone picked that up. reason we're meeting today, A, is our regular scheduled meeting, but also I sent out the notice that we got from Travis saying that the county commission met this morning and voted to fund the prioritization matrix analysis, and we had given them the HDR proposal. And I, although Travis, you didn't say, I assume it was all 41 projects at $58,300. And then went on to explain that we needed to make sure that our process was consistent with the county's process, the Bronx process, and I take it if it is, we're more or less good to go, and we proceed with the contract. And if not, we're going to have to back up a step. So you probably, Ron, need to know how we got to this point and what process we went through to get this proposal we got from HDR. Or do I need to back up even more and tell you what we're doing?
Well, it just depends on what your time constraints are. I mean, I'm not aware of this board or its reason for existence or any of that. It wouldn't take much for me to become appraised of that, quite frankly. I'm not sure, haven't had a chance to talk to the commission about exactly what they want me to watch for. I read what you gave me this morning, Travis, and it's pretty, looks like it's got everything in it that anybody would ever want.
The thing mostly concerned about was our selection process of HDR. Did we go through the right process to get HDR?
And I'm happy to listen to that.
Do you know what that process would be, of course?
I hope I should know some of that.
Right, as minimum, I think that's what they want.
Okay.
So,
okay, and I guess a little bit of this is, I believe that we were budgeted money. We were appraised that we were budgeted money. And we have not expended, we may have expended, what, $4,000 of it, or none?
Yeah, yes, we did.
And that... So there was, and that was a contractor services for something. I can't even think of what it was. Travis, was that with you guys, or was that with Great River? Was that to go with a second Tiger II, something or another?
Yeah, that was the... Did we spend that money for that Tiger II that Great River was doing, or were they doing it for...
Your budget money, the bulk of it for... to develop a priority matrix or to use it for operations. And this is this group is convened to prioritize and work with the county on transportation issues across the county. The county is divided up into seven districts. These are both the representatives here. There's a couple of them that are absent today. They come up with projects. We nominate projects. They need to be prioritized. We have determined over a period of time that it would be better if our priority matrix was very similar to MoDOT's, so that when we put these together, they would recognize what we're doing. We've done that, worked with different various engineers in and out, but HDR has accumulated the bulk of this, some of this on their own time. They own basically the bulk of this information, albeit public information, but they've taken the time to amass that. That's went on over a period of a year now. And now it's time to do this. And so we have believed we forwarded from this board as a result of that process, HDR proposal as a preferred vendor. The county commission needed to vote on that funding, and they did that this morning.
they move that into the 212?
Okay. Now, if we can get accomplished now, it'll come out of this year.
211.
Yes.
From what I heard this morning, just eavesdropping, because I wasn't on the agenda, so I've got a load up there that I work on, but sometimes if I have a minute, I'll turn the radio on to turn the computer on, so I have to listen to it. Sounded like they're going to, like it's going to go over anyhow.
The they wanted to put it in 2011, but I told them by the time we get a contract approved, your first invoice would be until 2012 anyway. They do it on a cash basis, Rick, the auditor said. He said that doesn't make any sense.
I guess my first question is, you know, for anything through purchasing, the first thing I'd have to ask whoever the department is, and Randy can vouch for this, is it in your budget? And where do those funds originate from? So if somebody said Tiger, does this money, tied in with a grant? Grant or any federal? Because if there's federal.
That's what the commission met on today, was to fund it out of their budget.
Okay.
I'm assuming this comes out of GCR. Is that right? And they're
basically Road and Bridge.
Road and Bridge.
Well, that's just the price thing. And then what was the process following that, behind that HDR's being selected?
Well,
we were doing all of our selection of things that we need to do fixed in the county.
Right.
That was our job. And,
damn it.
When the commission set us up, they instructed us that what they would like. Since there's no way to tell who has the most important project, you with me, to fix, that they wanted us to develop a prioritization system, matrix. So one of the employees of HDR had actually been employed with MoDOT, and we wanted it to be like we said a while ago, that we wanted to be comparable to the MoDOT system. So that when you're talking about any kind of sharing or so on and so forth, it would be very similar. And so as a result, HDR then decided they were working with the Road and Bridge over here on developing this system. And early on, they were asked who was funding it. And they said they were doing it for free because they felt like if they developed a system, they could sell it to other counties that far. You know, you with me? Mm-hmm. And so they showed us some, they did some runs on it. If I miss anywhere, you chime in. But they did some runs on it, and we liked it. It looked like it would be something that we could use and work. And there was a few tuning things done to it, you know what I'm saying? And so then we got to where we're ready to insert his district's findings, you know, the things that need to be fixed, mine. And that's when HDR said, okay, you know, then here's the price for us doing that. And then, you know, this system will be such that from now on, once we prioritize what we've got, if something else comes up out there, it can be put into this system, and if it bubbles to the top, then that'll be the first thing we spend money on. You with me? The county would spend. And this keeps somebody from, you know, you have a system now where somebody calls in on it, and they're very angry because they just seen a near collision somewhere. You know, you're with me?
Safety.
This system would, you know, it says which ones you ought to be working on. You with me? Prioritizes it. And not just somebody else saying this is most important when it doesn't come up to be the most important. And I don't think, you know, I think you'll find MoDOT has a system like that where, you know, they decide what needs the money spent on. There's only so much money, you can't fix them all. So we voted then that we would do that. And next we had to find out if this is what the county
commission wanted and would fund. And that's where, that's the meeting they had today, and they agreed to fund it. Now they want to make sure that our selection process of HDR was, would meet a anybody's
stand the test of an audit.
Yeah, of an audit that we did indeed select HDR.
Everything I touch, I ask myself that question.
Yeah.
Will this stand up to an audit?
Yeah.
Legally, as a government employee, county government. I would have to do a tad of research on this. I wouldn't be able to give you a concrete answer today and say, you know, I mean, if given the prices and the amounts here, it would normally. If it was a department like Road and Bridge came to me and told me they needed to hire a consultant or an engineering corporation to do a study or to do this type of work, and the estimated amount might be in the $50,000 to $60,000 range, then I'd say we'd probably have to let it out for bid or attach it to a state contract. And I could, you know, do some research on that and see. It may be a grandfathered clause, and they may be allowed to be grandfathered in because the project started without any anticipated expenditures. Is that true or not?
Yeah, yeah, it started. They were doing the work for free.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, there are several different options. We'll make sure that I'll bring back the recommendation to the commission probably on their next meeting, which is Thursday. I can get it done by then.
Okay.
A little research, make a recommendation to them, and worst case scenario, if we have to let it out for anything whatsoever, I mean, I know that process like the back of my hand. I think down and can attest to that, and I can get something done pretty quick if I can if I have to. So we certainly will make sure that we follow every legal maneuver that's required and dot every I and cross every T.
When you guys, when the county hires professional services, engineers, architects, and whatnot, do you do bids or do you request proposals from the firms without prices?
Both.
Oh.
Yeah, and in some cases, both at once. In other cases, you know, and I'm fairly new to this position, 6 months, less than 6 months, but I had actually brought an example of where we, on a little bid, we set up what you would see there, and there's some copies of this, is a, an evaluation process.
Is the criteria set up different in regard to services and equipment and?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
professional services technically legally can't be bid.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't send this out for just an actual bid. You can send it out for qualifications and then pick an engineer and then negotiate a price, but you can't bid.
Right, okay. And then that's what this is part of this example I'm showing you. We would establish a committee like yours, an evaluation committee from employees within existing departments, and the offerers and the proposers would answer a certain set of questions, and then we would discuss those answers. And using a formula like this where a point system is assigned certain points for different criteria, then that's what narrows the field out. And then you make a recommendation to the commission, and the commission would invite them back. They could make an oral presentation, explain why they think they're qualified, and then at a certain point in time, just like Travis said, then a pricing structure is requested.
In this case, they're so knowledgeable of what we've done so far, and they did a couple of them already. One of our main criteria is previous experience or knowledge of what's going on here. They'd be the only one that would know, right?
Right. And that is certainly something that the commission would take into consideration. They can make a ruling on things of that nature under the criteria of what's best for the county, what's best and expeditious for the county.
And that was the question I had, is that and our contract would be with the commission, technically, and we've gone through the RFP process with them in the past, so I don't know.
On other projects, or?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a year or two, but I mean, they did an RFQ.
When you read all of our minutes, too, this thing, this whole thing, the $4,500 was for them to determine the scope of services. They've already been employed and paid, I'm assuming.
I don't think they've been paid.
Okay, well, you may not have executed it, but I just read back to July, and this is that's the whole buildup in our minutes of all of this stuff. And what I believed happened today was they presented the cost to the commission. So the engineers did exactly what you said, presented the cost, and they approved it.
They didn't approve the price, but they did in the most, I mean, they basically did. But they didn't.
Well, they said they wanted to. They have your proposal, and they said they accepted the full proposal.
That's the way I understood it.
Yeah.
But I think they intentionally left out the price because they want to see if there's any other prices. That's the impression I got.
Any other prices of?
Well, the original motion was actually to send it out for bid. If they wanted to do the whole matrix, the whole 41 project, they wanted to send it out for bid. And after we kind of talked about it, we said, we can't bid it. When they said, well, this. Go through an RFQ process to make sure we've met all the requirements. But that's kind of my one concern, I guess, is if you send this out for RFQ, I mean, you basically say, we're looking for an engineer to build us a priority matrix. It's a lot of the stuff that's in it. It's the kind of stuff we've done, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's not really proprietary, but in a sense, it's...
Yeah, they've already, you've already did it, you know?
All it is now is sticking the numbers in it, so.
Yeah.
Well, the engineering parameters that are being evaluated, too, are, we feel are crucial to the issues that are out there in the field. Our chairman asked us to go out, each one of the district members, and survey and look at critical locations and intersections, that is a big one. Some of them have bubbled up to being near-term safety issues. It's good to study these things and make sure they're equitably evaluated all on the same basis, and that's what this HDR proposal provides for, plus the engineering parameters, looking at traffic counts and site distances and those kind of critical things. But we'd like to get it expedited, put on the fast track if possible, because at least on that list of District 5, there's about 5 to 7 potential projects. But there's a couple of them at the top of the list that are accidents looking for a place to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we would like to keep things moving and get the assessment. We're confident that the assessment that's done will bubble up those locations, and then we can get them addressed and get them fixed. So that's part of the push to expedite also.
And I'm hearing you say something along the lines of potential emergency. When the purchasing process has to be put aside due to an emergency situation or potentially emergency situation, you just need documentation for that. And I've run into that in a couple of instances where the generators go out on the air conditioning system for the jail in the heat of the summer. You know, we can't afford to take even a week to bid out something like that's replacement. So that's categorized as an emergency purchase. In that instance, for the sake of keeping legal in the process of the RSMOs that govern the purchasing process for the county of Taney, then I just watch for documentation. And so when they went out and bought that generator or whatever the parts were to repair that, you know, for the safety sake of the inmates in the heat of the summer, we had documentation to support that purchase that, in fact, the generator.
Well, I'm not sure it would qualify or bubble up as an emergency condition, but certainly it's more than just a traffic flow or a development that's going to be a benefit to the public out there. It is, we believe, safety issues. And so
that's a key factor. I will definitely include that in my thought process as I make a recommendation to the commission. Definitely.
I think we set the safety as a high priority at our last meeting. I know we did because I brought it up. So I don't know why that shouldn't come into play here, Ron.
Yep.
From that standpoint.
Are we
kind of treading in new waters here? Or, it's the reason why I asked what's the criteria for going through this process. I would think it would already be in place. Evidently not.
I think they're just wanting to be safe. They don't want me to take a second look at it, you know, and all of parameters. I'm not sure. I haven't talked directly to any of them over that. Just what Travis has told me, and you know, that's the reason I came into your meeting today, was to find out what your situation is. And
the other thing we find ourselves in here is this. We've spoken with the commission, at least formally, I think, on three occasions about this. But what comes out of that is they say, all right, we need to see something about what you're talking about. Well, unless the volunteers at this board set their life aside and go devote themselves to be traffic engineers, somebody's got to do that. Mm-hmm. So that gets done, and that starts bringing an agency along. Well, then all of a sudden you get down to where the fact where they can make some money. Now, we've met the commission's requirements all the way along by providing something. And this isn't just to the commission. I'm a city administrator. It happens to under the same public contracting laws. But at least at some point, you've got to have some people who have done professional work. Then you get down to the end and you say, okay, well, you're just right with everybody else. Take your chances and bid it, or submit your qualifications and go. Well, I don't know about that, because eventually nobody is going to step up with us and say, hey, we'll help you along here because we're invested in the process. And then at the end we'll say, well, thanks for the help and take your chances with everybody else. That's not in the public's best interest. What they have done already has been a great value to the public, and if we set that aside in the contracting process, I'm not saying short-circuit the contracting process. I don't even know that this isn't a sole-source provider situation, because they have all the proprietary information, and they own it. We haven't paid them a dime, so it's theirs. They can walk away and say, take that last year and just start over again.
Right.
So I don't know that that's in the public's best interest. Now, and I agree with being safe. I think it needs to stand up to scrutiny, but I think there's a lot of compelling things here that have done that. And the other thing is, it would be helpful if this was going to be the end outcome before this all happened, that we would have looked at this 6 months ago prior to them investing all that stuff and said, well, let's take a look at this and maybe you can compete with everybody else. Because we've had engineers in this gallery, we've had this discussion and selected them, voted them. So it isn't like there has been no discussion about who's best qualified to handle this. Now we're down to it. We need to be appropriated the funds. And
well, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think by MoDOT, if we were at this point with MoDOT and had to go through an RFQ, we could just qualify because we did free work for you. So, in my mind, we were kind of already past the whole RFQ process.
And I think for most of us, we probably were, because we've been working with them all the way along. The question that's negotiable was the contract price, whether or not that was fair and customary. But at this point in time, now we're at the 11th hour, and all of a sudden we say, well, let's go back and redo this. And that's an awkward position at this point for all of us. You know, I'll say for me, and I'm assuming HDR, the rest of you can speak for yourselves.
But that's the reason why I asked if we were creating new water here. I thought all the prelims would be out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, this is
kind of, but
you know, all I can say is reiterate what I've said.
Right.
I've received all your information. I appreciate the feedback and the details and the comments. And
do we have a time frame that we may hear back from you as to what your thoughts are?
As I said a few minutes ago, I'll give a recommendation to the commission on Thursday. That's okay. Their next official meeting date. That I can get on their agenda, actually on their agenda with several projects on Thursday. And I'll be happy to make a recommendation to them at that point in time on how I feel about it. Because my job is simply to make sure that I meet the legal ramifications of how the RSMOs dictate how Taney County spends the money that the taxpayers provide. And I assure you that that's what I will do. And make a recommendation to them, and then you'll hear from them at that point in time. But I know this commission is thinking along the same lines as you are, as far as what's right for the citizens and the safety and everything else. And I live in Branson, like I said, when I first sat down here. I'm right in the middle of a lot of those areas that you all are concerned about. So, for sure, I appreciate that strongly. So, if you have any questions for me, otherwise I'll step out and let you guys have your meeting. Or if there's any other concerns that I need to counselors I can get on me. He's got my email and everything.
Thanks for your assistance.
And so does Randy, who will try to get on me pretty easily, too. I'm sure we'll do this the right way.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, there was the meeting.
And I'm glad you were all here. It wasn't just me talking. I'll do that. Hopefully, we'll take all your comments and your advisement and do what we all want. And then we'll see. And we'll find out Thursday. Our agenda for today also had any new or old business on it.
About the, you said, you know, in the minutes you said the closing of the bridge.
Just so we can have that as a constant discussion topic. And are you, Beth, do you have any update on the Pennycumber Bridge here for
76.
Yeah, 76.
I don't have much information, but we are not planning on closing the bridge. We're looking at other alternatives to approach even some type of bridge repair work that would allow us to not close the bridge.
Okay.
What that may do is it may push off repair year that we repair the bridge for like another couple of years because it may cost more. So we're going to have to get some more money together to address that. But I have been told by our assistant district engineer, Dan Salisbury, that we are pursuing avenues that will involve not closing that bridge.
That's good.
That's a good outcry from the community and you have to look at detours.
The new 65-248, Beth, that has one about as smooth a project I've ever seen go.
Construction-wise, yeah.
Yeah, just the construction of it just, I mean,
flowed. The vein didn't work out for
it. It really did. Yeah. Really good.
I think the gentleman that was working on that bridge out of the Branson office had worked on at least one other DPI. I think Russ had worked on one or two.
Yeah.
Up in Springfield, so that helped.
What is the relative timing when some action would be taken in regard to the bridge?
He did not give me a timetable. He just told me that I think they had it listed as fiscal year 14, and that would probably be pushed off to 15 or 16 somewhere. They're just starting to look at it again and see what they can do different.
Well, that's good news.
And we're bringing new people into the district, too. So
I've been swamped with everybody. Over Cedar Creek, you know, you can imagine.
The detour would have been a killer.
Oh.
It's almost unrealistic, the detour.
Especially if you live in Cedar Creek, you know, but they could have. And they were wanting to go to Branson, you know. Mm-hmm. To Forsyth, no problem, but to go to Branson, they'd have to go.
Yeah, it'd be more problematic than the Hollister Bridge. Because at least there we had the 65 bridge. It was just a few miles away.
When you run the numbers on those kinds of detours, though, they're astronomical. That was a six-mile detour, and that was something like $1.4 million in private fuel used during the 1 year that that bridge would be closed, with 21,000 cars a day. I think this count over here is something more like about 7,000-8,000 on F. Is that
what it is? Surprise me.
Yeah, something like that. So it would be something, but it would be approximately, it's in the millions of how much that would go around in the length of that detour. And then the school bus stuff, that adds an hour each way, so 2 hours a day for kids, that seems to be almost insurmountable. It's just a difficult kind of a situation. And that's part of the compelling reason why we needed two bridges in each of these areas, so that if you have to close one for maintenance or even reconstruction, you still have an alternate. Because if we had, even in the downtown area, if we had the 1914 bridge still left, and then the other bridge, we could have repaired the old historic bridge and still been all right because we had an alternate. And ultimately, I must assume that Forsyth somewhere is going to have to do something. When we looked at the downtown bridges, we looked at a T-Highway bridge instead of that and some other alternatives. The bridge themselves were between $12 and $30 million, depending on the bridge. but the connectivity to it was $20 million to redo T Highway or to do all these other things. And they were, the connectivity was more than the bridge to be able to do it. So that was hard. If you have an alternate bridge right at the bridge site where you have parks on both sides, public land, you probably could do a couple of bridges there and have an alternative. But again, it is what it is. We're not talking about it in Tampa County, but I host that Partners in Progress meeting every month. Stone 13 is getting improved, and the Kimberly Bridge is exactly the same shape as this one and facing the same thing. And what was that, $62 million for that bridge to do that? That's the entire state budget.
I remember it was a huge number.
The bridge budget, yeah. So I don't know. We're facing it several places. So
we're just starting. I do know that Dan told me they were just starting to look at that again to see what they could do differently involved. Not shutting it down for the duration. He did say that they've been looking at other projects through the state that it may involve like a week or two closer for the very end, when they had the critical components going in. But, no option has been selected and nothing's been shoved off the table yet. So I know they're just starting to revisit it.
I think we ought to probably leave that on the agenda.
I'll talk to Dan and see if we can find out any additional information, because he told me that probably 8 weeks ago, so I'll check with him and see where we're at.
The other thing on the agenda was the election of officers. I've been chairman now for 2 years. I think that's a statute of limitation.
That's just getting you settled in, baby.
There's no law of any statute of limitation.
I don't know.
All you guys are chomping at the bits to do your turn. So.
You want us to vote on whether that's a statute of limitation?
No.
We could probably even have a quick nominating committee, David.
Yeah, we could do a nomination even.
Vote a buddy or Brian. Anybody who's not here, that's always a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Actually, unless you really don't want to serve, you've got a staff. And I've got a staff, too. But these guys don't have staffs. And if they have to send out meetings and... Donna, I'll tell you, I'll have to say, this is the only place I've ever served on a public board that we have to do all of that stuff ourselves. Generally, the political subdivision that you're working for provides the administration.
Dominica.
All right.
Well, the short time that I've been with this board, the existing chairman has, I think, done an outstanding job, and we've got some progress being made. I would hate to see any discontinuity in that, but if you've got other things so pressing, that's another aspect. But I feel like we're starting to get momentum built up, and I'd love to serve under you for another term if you could consider, because I think we really on a roll.
That wasn't much of a campaign speech for yourself.
Maybe for the nature
of we really got good progress from here, I think, in what we're doing.
And I'm rotating off, so I'm not eligible.
Who else is? Am I rotating off?
No.
Right.
We need to look that up to see what that all is. I might be able to find that quickly on who's on, who's off.
That was from the 4 years, obviously.
Yeah, there was different years. And I was 2 years.
Before we get off, I accept your nomination.
This is kind of how it happened the first time.
That sounded like the second to me.
Yeah, I'm thinking, David,
you're the man. I think you're going to make a nomination, weren't you?
Yes, that was a nomination.
And Buddy was supposed to fill in when you were gone.
Absolutely. I agree with that totally.
Can I get names? Because I'm sorry, I don't know everybody's name.
David Miller. Can you go around the table real quick?
Well, I mean, just choose.
Ron Newman.
Ron Newman.
Did the motion. Jim Youngblood did the second.
I'm thinking that we could get this by acclamation, David.
I'm seeing it.
Okay, well, I'm
sure Railroad comes to mind.
We're big into requests for qualifications, but we think he got our hands down. I'm trying to see if we got
it. He'll find out. That'd be one eye for next agenda. who's going off, and is there recommendations to Charles for another 2-year term, or whether they do something different?
No, I'm definitely off.
Did we get a vote on that?
That for him?
Yeah.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
No, looks like the ayes have it.
We got that out of the way. I think you were on a 4-year, I were on a 4-year. Dave was on a 10-year.
Should pay more attention when it's set up.
But there's a vice chairman, and Buddy's the vice chairman, so right. The absence can work on getting him elected. I'm sure.
Right.
So, do we need to elect Buddy?
We've already did Miller. We'll do Buddy next time. I won't be here, so.
Well, do we have to do it this year? I guess we got one more meeting this year.
We'll go ahead and get it over with.
Oh, we could. Okay, I'm going to nominate Buddy Roberts again for the vice chair.
I second that nomination.
Okay. Any other nominations? So all in favor of Buddy for vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Vice chair again. Buddy will be thrilled, I'm sure.
I'll tell him because I like to see the excitement in his eyes.
Jim, did you second that?
Jim did.
Jim did, yes.
All like I say, we're finally making some progress, so it'll be a little more productive.
Yeah, I think continuity is important at this point with everything we've got in the fire right now. Big deal.
Are you guys having a meeting next week?
26th
is what it
would
be.
I don't think we'd want to have one
26?
After Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
No. 25th is Sunday. Whether we have one or not, it won't be on that date. I'll just get
it. Right. I suppose it would make sense to cancel the December meeting and just have our next one in January.
Well, the only reason that it wouldn't make sense is if they come back with this funding stuff and we need to be here
do something
with it.
Let's leave it like that. We cancel the 26th, but if we need to meet,
call a special meeting or something.
You want me to make a motion on that?
All right, that sounds good.
I so move.
That we cancel the 26th, but we need to meet, have a special meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Second to Charles's motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of canceling the 26th of December meeting and having a special meeting if you need to, say aye.
Aye.
All pull the same sign.
Donna, do you need any names on that, or you've got?
I got your motion. Your second one's David, but I didn't get who made the motion.
Charles MacArthur.
Thank you, Charles.
Mr. Chairman, we have a piece of new business.
Oh, okay.
Bring it up with this
one. And if you're, unless you're ready, put your finger on our number of years.
Each member will serve a 4-year term, maximum of 3 terms. Districts. This is the first set of terms here. Districts 3, 5, and 7 initially serve 2-year terms. The districts 1, 2, 4, and 6, 4-year terms.
But then they changed that.
They changed it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they did.
I think, didn't they? I think there was a second.
I think I'm serving just my predecessors filling out the rest of this term right now.
Charles, what district are you from?
2. Oh. And they changed it. I was 4, and then they changed it.
Okay.
I'll have to dig that out.
Wow. That's pretty convenient.
Yeah, that was the original, and then they come back and they changed it.
Okay.
They put out a different memo, the commission did.
We're on your 5, right? District 5.
Yes.
I was thinking that's the number and see what I want to come from.
Mm-hmm.
2.
So that first commission was formed, the second commission we're talking about.
You mean commissioners?
Commission. We had 1 and that was dissolved and redone. This is the second commission actually. Right, David? We had 1 commission.
The transportation for the county?
Right.
Yeah, it
and that was resolved because of some reason and then we were reappointed.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
It just kind of fizzled. It never happened.
Yeah.
Okay, you and I showed up, and that was about it.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
I think you and I met in Walmart one day.
And actually, this is the third. There was a big one about 95. You'd sent me some of this stuff. There was a big one of these long ago that did the East-West Corridor Road, which is called Branson Glades Road or something. And you'd sent me some of the materials out of that. Dick Hall served on that commission because he told me a little bit about it. And they went through all of this stuff and produced a product in the late 90s. And then that kind of went away. Maybe you served on it.
I was there. I'm going blank today, but yeah.
Okay. And so anyway, then they decided to reconstitute this. That's when they started with an original board that didn't show up, I guess. I don't know.
We couldn't get it put together.
Yeah, nobody would show up. Okay. So Ron, what's your new
item? New item, just for thinking, is I'd like to have it placed on the agenda as a continuing item of discussion, and that is November 3rd of a month or so ago, I attended the Missouri State Rail Plan meeting up in Springfield. It was reasonably well attended. There was about 20 or so personnel there. And I believe one of your staff attended, David. I had talked to David about this before the meeting, and I had meant to put together a short memo on it, and I will. There were some attachments that I think would be well for all of us to look at, and I will put a brief memo together with those attachments so that David can circulate them. But basically, the state of Missouri, and it was the administrator of railroads, Terry Curtit, and the railroad operations manager, Christy Jameson, presided over the session. That they're looking at putting on the glasses, looking ahead, both near-term and the longer-term. And they are going to be proceeding to develop a 20-year projection rail plan for the state of Missouri. And that includes Southwest Missouri. They will have one more public meeting after the first of the year. And by April, they hope to have developed input from all public entities, input to their rail plan, where people think rail should go here in the state. They started the meeting with some discussions on existing, and I've got some handouts that I'll make available to all of you. Progress being made both on the Amtrak nationwide running through Kansas City to St. Louis to Chicago and to the southwest, and even the state rail operation between St. Louis and Kansas City is looking up. For many years, they had trouble having on-time performance, but that's turned around, and they believe that they're really at the cusp where traffic is going to start to grow in that corridor, so there's some opportunities there. But they're not just looking at on passenger business and tourism business, but also the freight rails developing in the various counties throughout the state. Where are the needs? Where are the interests, you know, by the various groups that are around? I know it's surprising how far the rail plan really reaches down into the various pockets and corridors of cities and towns. Eric and I went to the meeting on the NASCAR track here. It was very controversial here couple weeks ago, and even the NASCAR tracks unveiled that they're developing manufacturing facilities. And key to their development on the south edge of town out here is both the airport, Highway 65, and the rail line. So it reaches not only existing services like the Branson Scenic Railroad right here in our hometown of Branson. It's very important, obviously, the rail where rail might go into the future, including tourist lines. Make a long story short, I think we ought to be thinking about, and the Taney County and this board ought to be thinking about getting some input, public input, to their plan, so that we don't gonna go unattended for whatever the needs might be here in the southwest Missouri. It may involve, you know, going out and interviewing some folks. like the Transoceanic Railroad and the North Arkansas Railway, Missouri North Arkansas Railway, and others. It may be interviewing people like the NASCAR facility that talked about the key railhead being important to them. I'm sure there's a number of others that are in the Branson area and even the Branson-Forsyth area that rail is important to. And so the county, I believe, should be giving input to that rail plan that they'll be developing. So just to start thinking in terms of that, their timeline is April to produce the final plan and are having the second public meeting and finalizing the plan by next May. So there's plenty of time to think about what the implications are of rail here in Southwest Missouri. So I'd like to kind of foster the thinking on that and, you know, send my memo forward and David, we can take a look at it. But that's would be a new item for next year to be thinking about.
I heard that they're thinking of Amtrak to Branson.
Well, that
out of Kansas City.
That would be the prospects of, and all the people it might affect, you know, the tourist industry would be significant. All the way from the Hershens to, you name it, Big Cedar, all of the tourist people would have an interest in giving input to that. Is it in the cards? Do they have an interest in it? Would they be able to finance, you know, their role of making use of it? Some organized manner by which we could get some input and then formulate a position paper, maybe, on behalf of Taney County and put it forward.
We lose economic development projects on every 6 months because we don't have rail integration. We just lose it. I mean, we've had two at the airport. Remanufacture of military aircraft was one, and aircraft maintenance company was another. We got a long ways in both of them. But eventually, when they don't have rail to bring in airframes and engines, they can't be here. And those were good jobs, big deals. And if we could get that rail, air, road integration, as the racetrack has talked about, that industrial park down in that area, it's amazing. And then we get all the national prospects that come through for economic development. We just can't bid on them because we don't have it.
Yeah.
So we're just really not good. And it's amazing how many cities, like Springfield has rail and they have air, but they don't have them close together. But we've got that opportunity right now to put them close together, a half a mile apart. And you can really get some great paying projects if you can do it.
NASCAR personnel mentioned on the public record that, of course, they're still in very much at the planning stage, and they don't have full commitments, and a lot of it's proprietary. But they talked about a major dairy producer that would ship dairy products throughout the United States locating out there on that industrial property, and also potentially some type of a fabrication building, concrete walls or portable walls, locating out there, and that those manufacturing facilities may actually go in place right in parallel, if not ahead of, the racetrack. So there's an opportunity factor for that type of rail development, and I think you should sample it and put.
How far along are they on the Amtrak situation at Branson? Did you mention that, Charles?
I mentioned it.
Where are they at?
Couldn't tell you where they're at. That's probably in that come out of state legislature politics. I think they're in favor of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's going to take money.
Well, there's also starter services that might be and get grants for, such as Amtrak runs the Kentucky Derby special. And they run other trial services. But, you know, they conceivably could run a trial service to Branson, you know, a tourist train, just on a trial basis to see if it works and see if anybody would ride it. But there's a lot of opportunity factor in it. You start to think out of the box of things that plan for the future. And that's what the state rail planning is all about, really, what may come down the pike in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
I think your idea is good. That's good on our agenda, and also maybe put together some position paper for the county to submit. Trying to think, is there any rail that goes into Arkansas in Stone County?
There's
none. Or wherever the county is that way?
Oh, sir. No.
It's one of the problems you got across state zero. All the railways have been taken out, turned into walkways. And
you have the line that goes down from Monette, that's a private railroad, down to Springdale, Fayetteville, yeah, to Fort Smith.
Right.
But
that's about it.
I don't know if that would touch Stone County or not. Probably not. It's west of Stone County.
One of the other things that's a really big commodity that we don't think about, concrete grade sand. We looked at a study, you can pay for a rail siding hauling concrete grade sand in and shot rock out. But I'm telling you, it would be worth a lot of money to do that. We looked at a large feed manufacturing.
Remember the giant sand project with Mike Rankin worked on that a bunch of years ago.
And the feed guys wanted to haul feed in and sand in and feed out. And it paid for the whole dang thing. 2,000 rail cars a year could be used
to
just
sand. If you
have
a backhaul, that's
what
the opportunity.
And so, and now there's all these people that want reinforcing. For example, there's a bunch of these flood improvement projects. We could even haul shot rock to New Orleans for all this levee reinforcement. There is this virtually, this Missouri River problems that they're having, that flooding. There's just this unlimited market for shot rock. And we're thinking of high-tech siding and all of this and that. We just send rock out of here and bring sand in,
All the rock and oil.
So rail's huge. And the other thing is, if we can position for the 21st century, that's as good as this table could do for the next generation, if we could do that. And rail is huge.
You were talking about grants, Tiger 1 or Tiger 2. If you looked at what projects got those, probably at least half of them were rail projects.
I bet so.
Yeah. So, yep. I don't know if the county could apply for it or how it would work, but there's money out there for it.
And oftentimes the multimodal people at MoDOT, there's money in there that doesn't necessarily compete like the road money does. And so it's well worth looking at. It's a good idea.
You got a new business? I guess I'll wait and I'll hear from Ron or Randy, let me know, and we'll decide if we need a special meeting.
I would think that would have to go through their legal department.
If I hear something, I'll use my staff to let everybody know.
Perfect. It works because you got one.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.
I just noticed that was absolutely. Criteria wasn't already set. I just. Just another. I mean, I was just. That's the reason why I asked him. Is there not anything to place this thing already? Unbelievable. Huh? Good point on that. It's real.
Yeah.
Charles, did you ever figure out whether you're on or off?
It was a very nice.
Have you ever figured out? You're just kind of fumbling there, man. We think you're still on.
You know, they always say a good bluff is worth more than the facts.
Oh, really? Is that it?
You know that.
Oh, okay.
It works pretty good.
It's on that email you had. I did. My hard copy broke today, so I didn't have any printout.
$4,500. Okay, that's $1,4,500. Let's see. That was back in
July.
Sure,
I'm sure
you've been July. Discussion regarding limitations to cab regarding bid discussion. Randy stated the bid had been submitted by Road and Bridge for any expense over
$4,500.
Okay, Budding moved to spend up to $4,500.
I personally work for Joe Gordon, who's the president of Amtrak.
HDR listed to have changed from temporary to super district. Okay, this was the scoping of the project. Buddy moved to spend $4,500. David said they needed to get with HDR to determine the scope. Motion died for lack of second. Okay. Chris, who's Chris?
You're on the air.
Well, that was the part that I